Well, today I'm so excited to present to you a new series we're kicking off that we are entitling A Lifestyle of Worship. A Lifestyle of Worship. Living a life of worship. Living a life of worship. And how many know that worship encompasses everything that we do? That's about what I think. Some of you today are already checking out. Mentally, you're trying to check out already. All right, worship. What does this really have to do with my life? All right, Pastor, this sounds good, but I'll catch you back in about 4 or 5 weeks when you go on to a different series. Because really, worship, you know, what does that have to do with my life? I'm here to tell you that worship has to do with everything in your life. Everything in my life, everything in your life, worship encompasses everything that we are. It's one of the things that affects us here on earth, and it's also the thing we'll be doing. If you're a Christian, it's the thing you'll be doing for eternity. Do you realize that? Pastor, I don't like to worship. My hands get tired. My legs get tired. Oh, I got news for you. You better get used to it, because we're going to be worshiping the Lord for eternity. How many know we're going to be doing with heavenly bodies, though? They have a lot more strength than these earthly bodies. But we're going to be worshiping the Lord through eternity. And worship is not just for eternity in heaven, but it also has to do with our lifestyle that God created you and I for. That we were created for worship. We're going to talk about that thought today. We were created for worship. Created for worship. This may be one of the most important series that I've ever done here at Destiny Church. Because I believe that it's just as important as anything else we've ever done. Is learning what my life means on a daily basis and what it means to be a worshiper. And I was created for worship. Because if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you over these next weeks as we begin to talk about worship and what worship means in my life, it will change the way you are. It will change the way you do your job. It will change the way you treat your wife. It will change the way you treat your spouse. It will change the way you do things at the gym. It will change the way you do everything. Because when you realize that worship encompasses everything. And we're going to talk about this today. I had a motivation for this series a couple years ago. My wife and I had some tickets given to us to go see the American Idol Tour. And we were in Oklahoma City. This was back when, I think it was season number two, is that right? Season number two had just finished up. And I think it was Ruben Studdard and Clay Aiken and all those other guys on there. So they had this big tour they were doing in Oklahoma City, and we were big American Idol fans at our house. We watched the show, and we like to predict who's going to win, who's going to get judged off. We like to watch the ones who mess up. I'm just like you. I like to watch the ones who are off key. Just as much as I like to watch the ones that are on key. But we're big American Idol fans at our house, and I know many of you are too. And so we went to this concert at the Ford Center in Oklahoma City. And while we were there, we had good seats. We were sitting about 10 rows from the stage. We're in the front. And it was amazing. These guys begin to sing. I mean, just they're American Idols. You know, these kids, you know, 3 months earlier were working in grocery stores. You know, they were cleaning floors just like you and I do things we do, you know. And all of a sudden, they're on the spotlight, and now they're touring the country. And it's amazing to see these people out there during this concert. This is what they're doing in this concert. Here's Clay Aiken. Clay Aiken! Ruben Studdard, all these other American Idols are singing this, you know, happy-go-lucky songs. Nothing that really is that relevant. Songs about love, songs about life, you know, songs that make your foot tap. What are these guys doing? They're doing this right here. I look at them, tears are running down their faces. And I'm cracking up, and you know, we got young girls. You know, teenage girls, 10, 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, crying when they see their American Idols on stage. They're over there crying. And then you look around the corner and their mom's over there crying. And grandmas are over there crying. I'm thinking, this is beautiful worship, but wrong God. It's beautiful worship, but it's the wrong God. And it really convinced me of this, that we will worship. We will worship. The question is, what are you going to worship? Woo, we're dancing today, are we? We're going to worship, but the question is, what are you going to worship? And who are you going to worship? Because we are all created to worship. We all are wired inside of us. God has placed it in our DNA to worship. We were created for worship. Let's start off with defining worship today. And let's define worship as this. Worship can be defined as having an intense passion or esteem for a person, place, or thing. Having an intense passion or esteem for a person, place, or thing. I want to introduce to you several concepts today on worship. And it's going to lay the foundation. We're going to come back and we're going to spend more time on a lot of these concepts in depth and talk about them in an extended manner. But today I want to lay the foundation for this, that we are created for worship. We're going to build on this, and we're going to have things that we're not going to understand totally today. We're going to make it clear in the defining weeks. But let's consider this first statement. Worship is not manufactured, it is intrinsic. Worship is not manufactured, it is intrinsic. It's not something that is fashioned or manufactured up. Worship can't be manufactured or just produced. It's something that's intrinsic. Worship comes from the inside, the foundation of who we are. It's an automatic thing that should take place out of who we are, that we begin to worship something. It's intrinsic. It's inside of us. Worship is built inside of us by God. God has placed in the ability in every one of us the ability to be worshipers. We are worshiping people. The question is, what are you worshiping? Some of you today, I guarantee you, you say, Pastor, I'm just not a worshiper. I'm sorry. I love the Lord, but I'm not a worshiper. I'll say, yes, you are. Every one of us are worshipers. We're going to worship something. It may be a classic car. It may be the new car we have. It may be the money we make on our job. It may be the new home we're seeking. It may be our favorite activity, a sport. It may be our grandchildren. Oh, ooh. He didn't say that, did he? Yes. See, we all worship something. So for you today to say, I'm not a worshiper, that's a false statement. Because every one of us are worshipers. Every one of us are worshipers. The question is, what are we worshiping? What are we choosing to worship? We're all going to worship. God has put in us. Do you realize this? God has put a Google inside every one of us. He's put that search engine, a Google engine inside every one of us that is searching from the time that we are just at the age of walking to the time we begin to talk about words. We are searching for things to worship. We're searching for things to worship. We're constantly putting data and things and people, and we're constantly putting all these things going through in our inner being, our mind, and our spirits, all Googling all this information. And the word worship, we put it in there, what's going to come out? What's your list of things that's going to come out on your top page? If we put the Google worship in your heart today, what would come up there? See, the question is, will we worship? Because that's already been answered. We're going to worship. If you're alive today, you're worshiping something. The question is, who are you going to worship? And what are you going to worship? So all of us are made to worship. It's something God put in us. Why is that? Because God, when he created us in the garden, he created us to have what? Fellowship with him. He created us to what? To worship him. That's why we were created, was to worship God. I was created to bring him glory. I was created to worship him. And so God is automatically going to put in my spirit, in my heart, as a human being, even though he gives me freedom of choice, he puts in me an automatic database that says, you know what? I've got to fill this void with something. I've got to worship something. And as early on, we try to do it in relationships. You remember when you first got that first girlfriend? Remember when you first got that first boyfriend? Oh, life's going to change. That's what I've been missing. And then 2 weeks later, you realize that, you know, where's the next one? You know, and all these things happen. And if I can just get a job, if I can just get a car, if I can just graduate high school, if I can just make it to college, if I can just get married, if I can just have children, if I can just buy my own house, if I can just get the new car, if I can just retire. I mean, we're constantly looking for things to satisfy us in our heart. And what's the next thing? What's going to fill the void? And it doesn't happen. Things don't work out. And so people turn to drugs and alcohol and pornography and things we turn to fill the void that God put in our life. And let me tell you today, you will never fill the void in your life until you allow Jesus Christ fill that void in your life. You can search for him and want to be close to him, but until you allow him to come into your heart and fill the void in your life and say, God, I want to worship you more than I worship anything else in my life. And when you reach that point in your life, what will happen? God will come in and he will take control of your life. You say, God, all right, I'm going to worship. You are above every other god in my life. I'm not going to allow anything else to take the place of my life. I don't need an addiction. I don't need a relationship. I don't need a spouse. I don't need a job. I don't need any things to bring me to satisfaction and to fill the void in my life except for what you do in my life, God. And allow him to fill that void in your life. He is allowing worship. Listen, worship is put into the DNA so that we'll seek after him. We're going to worship. Sadly, though, many of us are wasting our worship. All we need to do is look at your daytime planner or your schedule during the week, and we can see what we're worshiping. All of us here. Look at your schedule. I guarantee you. Look and see what is taking your time. What is taking your energy? What is taking your passion? And those are the things that we allow to become up and build up in our lives as idols of worship. We allow these things to become idols of worship. And some of these things aren't bad things. I mean, we're just busy people. We got a lot of things going on. And these things are not bad things in themselves. But when we allow these things to control my worship, when I'm controlled by my schedule because of these things and not allowing God to fill that place in my life, then this thing becomes an idol. And God says, I want to be the one, number one in your life. There shall be no other gods before me. There shall be how many gods? No other gods before him. It's the first in the commands. He tells us we are not to have any other gods before him. Let's look at what it says here. Talking about being worship being intrinsic. It's an all-encompassing activity. Also, worship is played out on a competitive court. Psalms 104 says this, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his what? Everybody say courts. Enter his courts with praise. Now, believe it or not, worship is a competitive court. There's a competitive things. There are things that are continuing to drive and compete for our worship. There are things that are constantly competing for your worship and my worship. Our activities, our jobs, our money, our schedule, our addiction. Things are continually to fight for our worship. I like the story in Acts chapter 17. This text really shows us the competitive nature of worship. The Apostle Paul found himself in Athens in Greece, in a city that was literally littered with idols. They had idols everywhere. They were known for their idol worship. And as Paul began to talk about Jesus and the resurrection, they came to him and they said, hey, the philosophers came to him and they said, we're into self-discipline and we have all these idols. And they invited this great man of God out to Mars Hill. Now, I used to hear the story about Mars Hill when I was a kid and thought, man, how in the world did they get there? You know, the space shuttle take them there? I don't know how they got there. This place called Mars Hill. No, Mars Hill is actually a place in Greece. So if you're wondering what this is, it's a place in Greece where they had built all these idols up. All these idols were built up, and they had the idol of sex here, and they had the idol of marriage here, and the idol of fruit here, the idol of harvest here, the idol of money here. They had idols for all these different things they made up. If you can imagine or think it, they had an idol built for it. They were not going to leave any stone uncovered. Matter of fact, Paul says, he goes, what's this idol here? This is the idol to the unknown God. Just in case we forgot a category, just in case we forgot something, this one here fits that void, you know. We got it all covered. They were so proud of themselves that they had built all these idols up and said, these are our gods. They are covered. This is who we worship. And look what Paul does here. Paul begins to talk to them. Let's peek over his shoulder and look at his message to them. He kind of gives them a microwave message here in Acts 17, 24. Paul says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Now picture him talking with the backdrop of all these idols behind him. And God does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands if he needed anything. Now, they had not only built idols, but they had built temples to house these idols, okay? So this is what he's talking about here. God does not live in temples built by hands, or he is not served by human hands as if he needed your help, basically what he's saying. These people were dubbed into thinking there was a God, and they were God, and God was a part of their nature, and the statue in their building, they put God in a statue. They put God in a building. They placed God where they wanted to place him. And Paul's addressing this. He says, because he himself gives all men life and breathes everything else. Look what it says here. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. and he determined in the time set for them the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. In other words, what? God's saying what? Paul was saying, listen, every one of us, God's put a search engine. What I just said to you, Paul was saying that. He's saying, you're trying to build God in a house. You're trying to build God in a statue, but it's not going to happen that way. God has put inside every one of us an ability to seek after him. What you're trying to do is you're trying to draw close to God. You're building this idol thinking you're getting closer to God, but you've got it all wrong. That's what Paul was saying. He was saying, listen, you're trying to get close to God by building this idol, this temple, but you got it all wrong. You're not going to get there by building something with your hands. Matter of fact, he said, you've made these things idols. He's talking about bringing them down in their life. Matthew 4 talks about a story, very familiar story to you. Here's Jesus. He had just been fasting. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He'd been praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan appears to him at the end of his fast, and Satan talks to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, you are hungry. Make these stones right here. Turn to bread and feed yourself. And Jesus looked at Satan and said, you know what? Don't even tempt me. Don't even try to tempt me to do something like that. You're just trying to make me do what you want, and I'm not going to do it. And then Satan said, let's fly up here to the temple, and let me show you around. And Satan takes him up to the top of the temple. Listen, Jesus, see all this? You bow to me, and you know what? I'll give you all these nations. I'll give you everything. Matter of fact, Jesus, why don't you go ahead and prove you're God? Why don't you go ahead and just jump off here and let the angels catch you? Satan was trying to tempt him in a spiritual point in his life of proving that he was Jesus, trying to make him bow to Satan's orders. And Satan said, nah. Look what he says right here in Matthew 4:10. I love what Jesus says to him right here. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus said to him, Satan must come to him, and Satan was trying to tempt him to do things. Satan must come to him and say, listen, hey, you're God. So just, why don't you go ahead and just prove yourself here? Just jump off here and let the angels catch you. That'll be cool to watch. And it'll prove that you're God. And see, in itself, it didn't seem like a bad thing, does it? In itself, that's not what's so bad about that? What was bad about it was that if Jesus would have done that, he'd have been doing what Satan was asking him to do, and he'd have been testing the Lord, the God. And he'd been disobedient to what God was saying to him. He said, listen, Satan, he goes, you are to serve only the Lord your God. I'm not going to serve you. Throw me that ball a second. And the question today becomes this, Pastor Matthew, throw me that ball. There you go. I'm to enter into his what with praise? His courts. Now, how many know what courts are? When I think of the word courts, if you really talk about it, we think about the word courts and we look out and we think the Old Testament times and we think about the courts that they actually had and the courtyard and you enter into the temple and everything goes with that. And the scripture is talking about those kind of courts. But I can't help but think when I hear the word courts about basketball court. It's just me. You guys know me. I'm a guy who likes sports. I don't apologize for that. I like sports in my life. I played them all my life, and it looks like many of you. And when I hear the word courts, I think of basketball court or tennis court or, you know, all these courts we have. And I think of these things because, you know why? Because it's a competitive thing. If I walk on a court and there's a basketball there, what's going to happen? I cannot pass. If I walk into a court and there's a basketball there, I cannot pass it. I've got to pick up the basketball. I've got to start shooting. And if you're there, I'm going to challenge you to a game of cow. And if you're good, I'm going to challenge you to a game of 21. And if there's enough guys there, we're going to challenge you to 3-on-3 or 2-on-2 or 5-on-5. It's just in our nature. I want to do that. It's a competitive court. And I want you to get that mindset in your mind of thinking, I enter into his courts with praise. That I want you not only to think of the courtyard and come into his presence, but I want you to think that our praise, our worship is a competitive thing. That's what Paul was talking about, Mars Hill. It's a big thing because he was saying, listen, you're trying to get worship and all these things. You've built up all these man-made idols. You built up all these man-made things, these temples, but God doesn't reside there. But they are fighting competitively for your worship. And when you walk out of this room, what is your Mars Hill? Fred, what's your Mars Hill? What's your Mars Hill today? What's competing for your worship? John, what's competing for your worship? Huh? Brent, what's competing for your worship? Steve, what's competing for your worship? Come on, somebody today. Chuck, what's competing for your worship? Carlos, what's competing for your worship? Okay. What's competing for your worship? Things are competing for our worship. Everywhere we go, things are competing for our worship. What's competing for our worship? Open up your schedule. Open up your checkbook. Look, things are fighting for our worship every day. It's a competitive court. And today, if you're going to grow in your worship of God, you got to say, God, I'm not going to allow anything else. Let's go for it. Let's get it on. Nothing else is going to take away my worship. You see, I've lived there when things did. I know what it is to fail miserably in this area. I know what it is to be so focused on other things that I did not put God first in my life. Oh, I went to church and I called myself a Christian, but I had no joy in my life. I had no intimate relationship with God the way I should have. And I remember that point when I just said, God, all right, it's just me and you. I remember that point vivid in my mind, in my heart. I said, God, all right, it's just going to be me and you. Never again will I allow anything to steal my worship from you. I don't care if I'm the only one in this place. I'm going to raise my hands and lift up my hands. And I remember standing up. I was sitting right here in this congregation. I was the only one. I was the only one who stood up in the congregation. I was raising my hands, and I couldn't stop crying because I remember standing and saying, God, I'm not going to hold back my worship from you any longer. I stood up right there on that side of the auditorium and just couldn't stop from crying. My friends looked at me like I lost my mind. What's he doing? I've never seen him act this way before. But it was a competitive court, and I said, no longer am I going to lose. I said, I'm going to go after you, God. What is your competitive court today? What is your Mars Hill? What's taking away our worship? We're all going to worship. The question is, what are you going to worship? In closing, let me give you a few more things here. Our worship is continuous. Our worship is continuous. The fact that it's intrinsic, it's also continuous. It doesn't stop. Word of God talks very clearly that worship goes on 24/7. Worship is continuous. Listen, we don't go to worship and we just say, all right, I worship on Sunday. You've missed it if you think you just worship on Sunday. Philippians 2:10 tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me tell you this. If you're a Christian today, you have bowed your knee to the Lord and his lordship in your life. You bowed your knee to the Lord, and that's worship when you say, God, you're God in my life, and I accept you in my heart. Be Lord of my life. You're bowing your knee to worship. You're saying that you are great and mighty God, and I'm going to continue to put you up here. Never again will I put you down here where I'm over you, but you'll always be Lord of my life, and I bow my knee to you. And I live my life constantly putting myself below his authority, constantly saying, God, I'm going to live myself below your authority. You are Lord of my life. But what happens if you never make that decision? Will you ever worship? Yes, you will. Scripture is very clear. If you're not a Christian today, Word of God is very clear of a place called heaven, a place called hell. He said those who do not receive him as Lord are going to be cast into the lake of fire, to hell. And what's that mean? He says before they go to the lake of fire, he says every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. So whether or not you want to worship or not, you will worship an almighty God. The question is, will you do it voluntarily? Will you do it now while you have the chance? Will you do it now while you still have a chance to enter into the kingdom of God and worship him freely from your heart? But so many of us, we have worship. It's all about us. It's all about me. Worship is not about us. It's about God. Worship is not about us. It's about God. Some of us here, we've made worship kind of like this video. I showed this video when we were at the Holiday Inn. I think it really fits here. I want to show it again. Some of us, this is our video on worship. This is our life story on worship.
It is all about you. Now, the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD. It's all about now. I lift my name on high. All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you, because you are unique and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can do
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do
are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites. Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at memyselfandi.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
Today, for many of us, that's so, isn't that so funny when you see that? Rewriting those words to a song, but if I could really be honest, that's the way a lot of us look. Because you know why? Our worship is all about me. We've made worship all about me. And today, I want you to realize that worship is not all about you. It's all about God. It's all about you? No, it's not. It's all about God. Worship is all about me. We come into church. Well, you know what? That song I like. Woo, hallelujah. I'm singing my song. Next song, I don't like that song, so I don't think I can worship in that song. It's too fast for me. I can't worship with that. Sorry, Pastor. I'm just not in the mood to worship today. Start singing your song. Woo, hallelujah. All of a sudden, worship's about us. We want to rate. You know what? Worship is not about you. It's about Him. It's not about what I want, it's about what He wants. See, worship is not about me, it's about Him. And so many times we put worship on our own thing. I'm not going to go there, but let me tell you this. Here's what happens to a lot of us. We walk into church and we order a BLT. Doesn't sound real good about lunchtime now, a BLT. We sit down at our selfishness and our humanness and we have a BLT, a B for blessing, you know, God, I will worship because you bless me. L for love, you know, God, I'm going to worship because you love me, God. T is because He takes good care of me. God, I'm going to worship you. What's the problem with that? It's all about me. See, my worship is just not because of what He does for me. It's because of who He is. He is God. He's a sovereign God. And He has commanded us to worship Him. He has asked us and said, listen, I wanted you to worship Him with everything you have in your life, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your being. He is challenging us to worship. And this is a mistake we make right here. This is a mistake we make. How many do we say this? I go to Destiny Church, or I go to church to worship. We say that a lot of times, but that should not be what we do. We should not come to Destiny Church to worship. We should come to Destiny Church worshiping. Let me say it again. I don't go to church to worship. I come to church worshiping. Because worship is not something I just do on Sunday morning. Worship is not something I do just on Wednesday night. Worship is a lifestyle of everyday walk with Jesus Christ. And when I come into the house of God, if I'm worshiping during the week, and you're 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 worshiping during the week, and we come in together worshiping, what happens? Heaven breaks loose, man. I mean, it is powerful. The captive are set free. The sick are healed. God's glorious. Why? Because we come in worshiping. But the problem is we come in to worship. And so it takes us 4 or 5 songs to get into it. And by the last song, oh, yes, I feel God's power. Hallelujah. And I'm worshiping now because I've got my arm raised. Hallelujah. And that's our ideal of worship. It's moved me enough to lift my hands. And do we lift our hands in worship? Yes, we lift our hands in worship. We lift our voice in worship. Yes, we lift our voice in worship. We're commanded to do those things, but I don't wait to worship when I get here. I come in worshiping. We'll talk about that more in this series. Worshiping. I don't worship. I come in worshiping. The services should be the whipped cream on your mocha. Every should just be the whipped cream on top of it all off your week, spending time with God. And our biggest idol, I'm going to close with this, close a little short here. Let me go ahead and do this. Our biggest competitive thing we face in our court for worship is what? What's the biggest thing we face? Is it our job? Is it our finances? Is it our friends? You know what our biggest idol in our life is? Myself. That's my biggest idol. It's myself. What I feel like doing. When I feel like doing it. Nobody gonna tell me what to do until I feel like doing it. And what can I get out of it when I do it? And our biggest idols that we have built in our life. Yeah, maybe today our competitive court, we look out and we don't think of any Mars Hill idols we've built up. We don't think we've built these big statue or temple and say, God lives there. This is the God of this. Oh, we never do that. That's sacrilegious. But in our own heart, we've made idols up. In our own heart, we've allowed things to come into our competitive court and take away the worship that God desires from each one of us. I remember being on a competitive court, John, and say, never again. Never again will I allow anything to take away the worship that God desires of my life. Do I struggle sometimes? Yeah, I do. There's times I find myself falling short. I have to go back to God, forgive me. I've allowed this thing to become an idol in my life. Take it down. I've allowed this relationship. I've allowed this. I've allowed these finances. We allow different things to come into our life, become idols over him in our life. What's your competitive court today? What's your Mars Hill? Only you can answer that. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I just want to ask you this question before we go any further. If you're here today and you see Pastor Gene, you're talking about this thing of giving up yourself to God. And I just have to admit today and tell you, I'm not even a Christian. I need to ask, before I do anything, I just need to ask Jesus into my life today. I need to get right with God. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I would not embarrass you. But I do want to give you a chance, because it's the most important thing that we ever do, is make a decision to be a Christ follower. To ask him into our heart, to begin to follow after him. And I never want to close the service without giving you a chance if you have not prayed that prayer. No one's looking but me, but if that's you here today, you say, Pastor Gene, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life. Or maybe you've been with Christ before and you've been away from a long time. You say, today, I just want to come back and renew my relationship with him. If that's you, can you just say, that's me? Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to pray that prayer. I want to make sure I give you that chance today before we go any further. Anybody here today, say, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Second question I have for you today is, say, Pastor, as you're talking about, I realize I've allowed other things in my life to rise up and steal away the worship that God desires from me. And I want to raise my hand this morning saying, in this series, that over the next several weeks, as we're going to talk about worship and what it means in our lifestyle, that I'm going to begin to ask God to help me tear down idols, selfish idols, idols of self-centeredness, idols I've built up in my life that have taken away from him. I'm going to ask God to put him first in my life, that I would love him more than I love anything else, that I have passion for him more than I have passion for any hobby, any job, anything else I do. Say, Pastor, I'm asking God to do that in my life. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, several hands. Pastor, that's me. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to stand today. Worship. Our life's full of worship. We'll never get away from worship. I can't compartmentalize it. I can't say worship's just Sunday. Tomorrow I'll go to my job and say it doesn't include worship, because I'm called to represent him on my job. I'm called to represent him in my school. I'm called to represent him in my neighborhood. I'm called to represent him and worship him in everything I do. We're going to talk about that more. But today I'm going to close with prayer, especially for those who raised your hands. The majority of you raised your hands today, which tells me is your heart is softening. Your heart is softening. It's saying, yes, God. Yes, God. I want to put my priorities back in place where they need to be. I want you to be the only thing I have in my life that I worship. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we lift our hands to you this morning, Lord, as a sign of surrender to you, God, this morning I pray, Father, for every person who raised their hand and said, God, they want to begin to put you first in our life again. Forgive us, God, for putting idols in our lives that have taken more attention away from you. Lord, forgive us, God, for allowing other things to rise up in our life and to stop us from loving them more than we've loved you. And I pray that, God, during this series, it may start today, God, may there be just a fresh hunger for more of you in our life, more of you in our marriage, more of you in our home and our children, but most of all, more of you in our own personal life. God, may we hunger for more of you. Simply that. And God, when we walk out the store and our competitive court faces us in the face, God, help us to pick up the ball and say, God, never again, never again will I allow anything to take away your worship. Never again will I allow anything to steal my passion from you. Never again will I allow anything to come before you. And God, I'm placing you back, and I'm asking you today, God, I'm placing you back at that head in my life and saying, teach me, God, to worship you on a daily basis. Teach me, God, to live a lifestyle of worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask, and we say it so. In Jesus' name, we say, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be at Carousel Park for food, fun, fellowship. Come out and have a good time. If it's not raining, we'll be there. God bless you.